Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Today, for the first time anyone can remember, we have a once-in-a-lifetime chance to put the old feuds and bitter hatreds behind us. And that's why so many people in this room, they didn't get along. Some did, some didn't. But they're getting along now. This has brought the people together. This is the first time the Middle East crisis has brought people together as opposed to driving them apart. And to declare that our future will not be ruled by the fights of the generations past, which is foolish.
Yeah, that's President Trump after this peace deal was signed this morning. Josh Hammer, Newsweek senior editor-at-large. He also hosts the Josh Hammer Show every Saturday. It airs at 1 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. Josh, how are you? This is a big, big day, isn't it?
Mark, it is definitely a historic day. It's a day that, frankly, I don't necessarily think that I saw coming, to be honest with you. I really thought that it was likelier than not that they would just be casualties of war, this final tranche of hostages. So it's a beautiful day, an incredible scene at the Knesset, the Israeli legislature this morning with Trump speaking. It's one for the history books, that's for sure.
So how do you look at this, the way it went down? I mean, obviously, it looked like Hamas was sort of backed into a corner here. They did not have a lot of leverage, certainly after agreeing to let the hostages out. It is interesting that we've heard about all this starving in Gaza, and I saw a lot of people celebrating in Gaza today, and they looked quite healthy. But what was it that finally brought these sides together to say, okay, enough is enough? Also recognizing that peace deals are always very fragile.
So it's always hard to say exactly what went on behind the scenes, but it seems to me a combination of Israel just very slowly and systematically just really eliminating Hamas jihadi by jihadi, battalion by battalion, brigade by brigade, combined with what I presume behind the scenes was some really sincere, credible, strong-arm negotiation by President Trump and Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff and their whole team. Now, a lot of it comes not just from Trump on Hamas, but Trump on Netanyahu as well. Netanyahu himself is in a very somewhat perilous political situation over in Israel, as I think you and I have discussed in the past, Mark. But President Trump, I think, is coming at this from a position really not so dissimilar, actually, probably from my friend Charlie Kirk's position before he was tragically killed, which is that President Trump, like Charlie, is a friend of Israel. President Trump, like Charlie, understood that the longer that this war goes on, the worse it really ends up being for Israel's standing in the world, their PR, and so forth. And in fact, trying to read Donald Trump going back to when he came back in office in January, I really have at times thought that he would really do better just to rip the Band-Aid off and yell at Bibi Netanyahu, finish the darn job already, just end this. I mean, yeah. that's basically what he said, right? So I think that he thinks this is really good for Israel, which it probably is. Obviously, the million-dollar question is what happens to Gaza and Hamas. That's a whole other conversation.
So just briefly, because you mentioned Charlie, let me ask you, because your name has popped up in all this stuff with Candace Owens kind of being crazy. And this, you know, I guess, event that took place in the Hamptons where Kirk was alleged to have said something. You kind of got dragged into that. Can you explain that at all? What the hell was going on with that?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's sick, deranged stuff, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It is really beneath contempt behavior. It all went down when I was offline for the Jewish holiday of Sukkot this past week. And I come back online to find out that Candace Owens, who increasingly peddles medieval or Nazi-style anti-Semitism, I mean, is saying that I was complicit in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I mean, it's just so demonic and beneath contempt, Mark. And, you know, you and I have talked legal matters in the past. You know that I have a strong legal background, and there's a real chance I'll sue. I mean,
good.
I'm speaking with numerous lawyers now. I think I have a very credible defamation case in my hands, so we'll see if I go down that rabbit hole. But I'll tell you what I think is actually really going on here when it comes to Candace Owens. There's been this whole fight in the aftermath of Charlie's horrific assassination, an assassination, by the way, by a radical transgender adjacent left wing fanatic. And they've somehow turned this conversation about a left wing fanatic into a conversation about Charlie's relationship with the Jews and Israel. And they're doing this because they're trying to make a play for how Charlie's legacy will be perceived, and by extension, the future direction that his organization, Turning Point USA, go. That's what they're doing. They're trying to make a bizarre case that Charlie was not the friend of the Jews that he was, and so forth. And the problem for them is that he was, that he actually was a genuine friend of the Jews, that Charlie Kirk observed his version of the Jewish Sabbath from Friday night to Saturday night, that Charlie Kirk spoke movingly about how he used to study the Torah with Dennis Prager, that Charlie Kirk was friends with people like me. So that's kind of how I get dragged in here, because I'm a publicly conspicuous Jewish person. I wear a kippah, a yarmulke on my head. I wrote a book about the Jews and Western civilization, a book that Charlie was a big fan of, by the way. And the fact that all of this is true, the fact that I was in Charlie's inner circle, poses a huge problem for Candace Owens insofar as she and her ilk are trying to revise history and therefore try to affect the future direction of the right and try to take it into an ultra-conspiratorial, anti-Semitic, frankly, in many ways, anti-American, anti-Western direction. So that is how I think my name gets dragged in here. It is literally because I'm Jewish and no other reason. That's the whole story, period, full stop, end of story.
So, you know, it's interesting and horrifying, and you know this better than I, but whenever we have an interview, and you thankfully, and I appreciate this, Josh, you put the audio of the interview out there, and then people start replying, I am shocked by the amount of anti-Semitism that is hurled toward you. You know, and it's in my timeline because you've retweeted it, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, a lot of us can't relate with that, and the vile stuff that gets thrown at you on a regular basis is just disgusting.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll be honest with you, Mark. I don't typically read
smart
replies or comments or anything
right.
like that. I did take a peek at the YouTube page for my video response to Candace Owens, which I posted last Thursday, and there were a lot of very negative, vile comments, oftentimes getting a lot of likes. It's very hard to know how much of this is organic, how much of it is foreign bot funded. I think that YouTube in particular has a pretty nasty foreign bot problem. I've heard that from a number of credible people by now. So, look, but having said that, some of it definitely is organic. And, you know, anti-Semitism is clearly on the rise in America, not just around the world. It is very much on the rise here in America, and I think it's incumbent upon everyone with a conscience, everyone who has his or her moral wits about them, to condemn this with all they've got for the reason that it's not actually about the Jews. You know, one of the things that I write about in my book, Mark, is that anti-Semitism going back thousands of years is never actually about the Jews. It is here, there, and everywhere a symptom of broader societal civilizational, national rot. It is a symptom that there is something that has gone wrong in that society, and because something has gone wrong, there is a need to find a scapegoat, and the scapegoat ends up being the Jewish people. But a sober society would see a rise of anti-Semitism and say, why is this happening? What has actually gone wrong in the society that has leaned to that? That is something that Charlie Kirk was actually thinking a lot about in the final year of his life. I know so because we discussed ourselves quite frequently.
So what happens to the Free Palestine movement and all these students on college campuses and all this other nonsense? Look, they're not going to all of a sudden become, you know, non-anti-Semites. So where does that whole movement go with their accusations?
Well, if you think about the shock troop wing of the American left, which is what I call them, the shock troop wing of the left of the Democratic Party, you know, they started once upon a time in the post-Trump era in 2017 as the Linda Sarsour Women's March. You know, that was the pink hat and the vandalism there on Inauguration Day 2017. So they started as the Women's March. Then they transmogrify a few years later into the Black Lives Matter Antifa riots of 2020. And then only after October 7th, did the previously somewhat fringe group Students for Justice in Palestine, did that really kind of erupt into this whole national, you know, pro-Hamas, pro-jihadi movement? So I presume that if this issue really goes away, which I'm not sure it will, to be honest with you, but if it actually really does, you know, I presume that the intersectional left will kind of find their next cause to be all angry about. I'm not entirely sure what that cause is, but I'm sure that they'll find something.
Yeah, chances are good it's probably going to be a white police officer at some point. Josh Hammer, always great to have you on. The show airs Saturdays, 1 p.m. Central, right here on 97.1 FM Talk. I appreciate it. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.